All right, what's going on, everybody? You're tuned back into The Red Pill. I'm here with Joseph Peterson of TruthIsScary.com. I'm Kevin Sabo with Kev Rock Entertainment. Is there hope? That's what we're talking about today. And this is a great topic to discuss with me personally, because since I've become awake, you know, we've talked about the, you know, which websites to follow and how to know you're getting the real deal when it comes to conspiracy or truth seekers, and an attitude I never really liked, particularly, you know, when talking with other truth seekers or following certain sites or certain articles or certain people, is this attitude that we're doomed, there is no hope. Basically, just sit back and watch the show from a different perspective. There's nothing you could do. And they're also, you know, we're not going to see any changes. We're just going to see the world go to shit, and you can expect nothing more, nothing less. Just sit back
just
and watch
sit
it.
Sit back and watch it, right? And protect yourself and go hide out in a bunker somewhere with a bunch of food, you know, right? And you know, live like a hermit and a gun, you know.
But I often wonder, is there hope? And is this whole ordeal with the New World Order, is everything going to go as planned? And is it, well, certainly, we've always seen changes. We've always seen certain events that have shown us that we are sort of seeing a bit of hope.
Yeah, so let's chat about that a little bit. So, you know, there's only one reason to do this. Let's think about, why do you and I do this, right? Because we think we can make a difference. So if I didn't feel like there was any hope, I wouldn't bother doing it anymore, you know? And if I'm one of those people who's just like, oh, sit back and watch. And I do have that attitude, don't get me wrong.
To
a certain degree, because it's the only way to keep sanity, like I'm watching a show, you know? And in other words, in my own mental mind, I have to feel like I'm watching a show and I'm not part of this. However, right. I can report on the show.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, I wouldn't say I'm a critic, but I'm a reporter. I'm a journalist. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm not really a part of the show, but I'm reporting on the show. And that's my job in this movement. And I feel like, yes, we do have some progress coming along. You and I have talked before about GMO labeling, mm-hmm. and how that is big progress, how a lot of communities are taking fluoride out of the water, mm-hmm. how that has been big progress. And now the, you know, the chemtrails and the geoengineering, people are starting to become aware of that.
Yeah, I love it when I see it make it to the news. There's certain things that we talk about I never thought would make the mainstream media. And then sometimes I step out of the studio, I look at the TV in the lobby, and I go, oh my goodness, look at that. We just talked about that. That's on the news now. That's excellent.
Yeah, so there is hope. And that's what people have to realize, that the only reason to do this is because we think we can affect or make a change. So yes, there are two plans. There is a plan. There is a plan by the people who are running the world to get it consolidated under one government, one rule, so it's easier for them to manage the whole deal. Yes, the plan is in place. Everybody knows that. They're trying to put it in motion. So, but for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. That's one of the oldest laws, you know.
As always, yeah.
Right. So every action they're trying to do, there's always going to be people who are going to fight it. You're never going to get 100% consensus, no matter what. That's why 9/11 happened. You know, this is how the truth movement started. So they should realize this, that once people wake up to their crap, there's going to be a certain segment of the population that is going to go against it, and they're going to try to bring others in to help them. Just like they, you know, the people who are running things are going to try to bring others in to help them. And I believe we are close to critical mass. And I don't know if you know what critical mass is, which is basically the 100th monkey theory. That once you reach a certain number of people, a certain percentage of the population in consciousness, once a certain percentage of the population has a shift in consciousness, then for some reason, most of the rest of civilization will follow suit.
Yeah.
You know, that's the 100th monkey. And I could go into the whole story of how they did that and why that, where that came from. But it's, you know, it's pretty simple. When they blew up, you know, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, 50 years later, they put some monkeys, not even 50 years later, a few years later, put some monkeys on the island just to see if they would survive. And the monkeys grew bananas on the trees for the monkeys. And the monkeys would start eating the bananas. But first, they were afraid to eat the bananas because of the radioactivity. They thought they were poison. But then one monkey got curious and ate the banana, right? Started eating. Because remember, they're on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. This place was blown up, radioactive. One monkey started eating. Another monkey saw it, and then he started. Now, there were some monkeys who resisted and would not eat the bananas. But once 100 monkeys ate the bananas, and there were 1,000 monkeys on the island, once 100 monkeys ate the bananas. And these were monkeys from all, in other words, there was a group of, but even monkeys on the other side of the island who knew nothing about this, all 1,000 started eating the bananas.
And monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's critical mass. It is when you reach a certain percentage, then the rest start to flip. And we're at that point now, I think. So the reason we bring this up is because we saw an article today of 10 recent headlines that offer hope. Is the New World Order dying? So here we are. Today's May the 5th, and we have, let's look at the number one thing here. Okay, the six Baltimore cops were criminally indicted on last week. That's a major thing. I mean, we have had Michael Brown, we had Eric Garner. Neither one of those cops got charged, none of them. But now we have this case of Freddie in Baltimore. This has caused all these riots and all this thing. And finally, someone has stepped up to the plate and prosecuted these guys. These guys are going up for trial for murder. So that's hope.
Yeah,
I mean, that's hope, because let's face it. And anybody who reads the headlines know that the police are running wild.
Yeah,
they are running wild. Every day you can look on that internet and see some video of some cop beating somebody up, black or white. I'm seeing white people get beat up,
yeah,
and I'm seeing black cops shooting white cops. A couple of these cops that killed Freddie were black.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's become more than a racial thing. Yes, the racial thing is there. Don't get me wrong. Freddie died because he did nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy got beat up and killed for doing nothing. He hadn't committed a crime. He didn't shoot anybody. He didn't rob a bank. He didn't do anybody. But 6 hours later, after he's arrested, he's dead. So, I mean, they're running wild. And yes, yes, there is racism. We could say that. But it's gotten to the point where it's everybody.
Yeah.
So this gives me hope. The fact that now, whether they're going to convict these people or not, but just the fact that they came out and charged these cops or doing what they're doing gives us some hope. Agreed?
Yeah, agreed. And this is one of the big things that is waking people up right now, because the police brutality and the way the police are being militarized, and it's shown, it's so in your face. You can't really deny it unless you have that really old school train of thought that the police and law enforcement are always right, or the few people I know that have cops in the family and refuse to believe the police are wrong.
Right. Right, right. I saw a t-shirt today. It says, if you hate cops so much, next time ask a crackhead when you need help.
I saw
and I'm saw like, that. I'm like, well, that's great. Just compare cops to crackheads. That's how low they've sunk. And that's a t-shirt the cops are going around wearing. Idiot.
Police lives matter.
Police lives matter, right? Everybody's lives matter. But you better start treating people nice, and then, you know, and then they'll treat you right. There's never been relationships like this with the police. The people are starting to hate the cops now. Hate them. Fear them. And from fear comes hate.
Yeah.
Yeah. More than ever before. And they've got a real PR problem on their hands. And, you know, again, this could lead to martial law, or it could not. Something like this maybe could slow it down a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, people, maybe cops will start thinking twice before they start beating the crap out of people and killing them.
That's good news, though.
So speaking of militarization of police, Montana passes a law to nullify the militarization of police. So in other words, there was a law where they were giving, the government was giving military equipment to all the police. I mean, you and I think discussed this about, we saw the list of the Fairfield County and why do we need helicopters and this, that, and the other thing. So the government has been giving out surplus military to police departments. I mean, we're talking tanks, we're talking AR-15s, you know, the assault rifles, we're talking rocket launchers, we're talking helicopters. And Montana, basically the governor of Montana, has shut down the bill that allows the government to give weapons to the police departments, because he doesn't want the police departments in Montana to be militarized.
Great.
That's pretty good. That's another thing that can give us hope, you know? So, I mean, when we see that the people who are running things are also fighting the system, I mean, he's fighting the White House. He told the White House, no, I don't want your guns. I don't want your AR, you know, I don't want that stuff here. We just want to be a regular police department. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you got people like that, that's pretty good. So now here we got number three on the list. Remember we talked about the Jade Helm?
Yep.
The exercise that they were going to do across the Southwest in those four states. Well, two out of the four states, parts of them, have canceled their participation in the Jade Helm operation.
There we go.
Because of strong opposition from the public. See, what we're seeing is actual public outcry and public opposition actually affecting change. Which is good, which is the way it always happens. But we've never had public outcry for these topics. like the military and the government and the DHS were always ready, able to run around and do whatever the fuck they wanted.
Yep.
And now people are starting to question, well, why? Why do you have to take over our streets? Why do you have to practice this in our town? Why? What is the purpose? And they actually, the two, a couple different places, a couple, Texas and Colorado, they told them they don't want it. Cancellations. And who knows if there'll be any more. I mean, it's not happening until June or July.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that this leaves room for other people that's, you know, or in other places of the world, that's, you know, in the country to come in and say, we don't want it here either.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's what does happen. Like we talk about the 100th monkey.
Well, there's the start right there.
Yeah.
There's one of the first monkeys.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. And I want a fucking banana.
Yeah, right. Right, right. Exactly. Okay. Now, here's a good one. You remember the Patriot Act?
Yeah, this is excellent.
Do you remember? It came in right after 9/11. The funny thing you know about the Patriot Act, everybody thinks that the Patriot Act, that 9/11 spurred the creation of the Patriot Act, okay? If you've ever seen the Patriot Act, it is a book a couple thousand pages long. Thousands. It is a thick book, about 2 to 3 inches thick of papers. There's no way. The Patriot Act was sitting in a drawer, ready to go. I mean, they literally had that thing ready 2 to 3 days after 9/11.
Yeah.
So that thing, they were, that was planned to be put in. They had that thing ready to go. All they needed was a reason to put it in. But here it is, turns around 14 years later. Congress doesn't even want to reauthorize it. So they didn't even have enough votes in Congress to reauthorize the Patriot Act. Now, this is a big blow to them because they like to have this act in place, and not without, they have no choice but to take it out now.
Yeah.
Because they didn't vote it in. So now we're losing the one that gives them the right for wireless wiretaps, for mm-hmm. wiretaps, you know, search without search warrants. For all the, you know, all the searching that they do, unwarranted searches where you can search a house without a warrant, all the rights that the Patriot Act gave the government and the law enforcement are no longer now in force if they take rid of the Patriot Act. So that's going to cause a lot of rumblings, and a lot of people are going to start demanding their rights back. You know, yeah. And that's what you're seeing here. You know, we got a lot of our rights taken away through the Patriot Act. And obviously Congress, and nobody even gives a crap about it anymore because there weren't even enough people who showed up to vote for it.
That's great.
Yeah, that's great. Now here's another one. Polls show that young Americans are skeptical of global warming.
Yeah, that's something I've been reading up on.
Now you are young. You are a young American. And you are skeptical of global warming.
Yeah.
So now even the young generation is not fooled anymore. They're starting to see it. And they did a poll of, you know, the youth of America.
Yeah, I read that yesterday.
Yeah. And the majority of the youth of America does not believe in climate change. They think it's fake. They think it's a hoax. And they don't believe that it's our fault. They just don't. Because obviously your generation and your, you know, is much more well-informed mm-hmm. than the previous generations. And obviously that's because of the internet and because of all the technology and the access to information that we never had before. So your young people like you hear something on the television, they no longer accept it.
Yeah.
They fact check it.
Mm-hmm.
So they hear a CNN guy, oh, global warming, or some freaking politician talk about that crap. Well, they get right on their phone and fact check it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the facts don't match up. So they become skeptical, which mm-hmm. is great. I think this is great. I think your generation is going to be the one, has to be the one, to lead the charge out of here.
Yeah, it's like natural. It's like a natural reaction without even giving it any thought. I could say, honestly, just thinking about it right now, anytime I do hear something, or anytime most young people hear something, what do? Oh, really? You heard that? Well, let me punch that in real quick on the freaking phone, on the computer. Let me see what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, nobody really just accepts what they hear anymore.
No.
That's a positive thing.
Which is a real positive thing. So not only are they questioning global warming, climate change, they're questioning the mainstream media. Which is really important. And they're questioning authority and they're questioning the police because they're starting to realize that these people may not have their best interest at heart.
Yeah, it's almost like the system really fucked itself. Because with the police getting too wild, it's almost like they figured the New World Order is on the come up. You know, we could basically go wild at this point. We could beat the shit out of people out of the streets. We can kill people.
Massive consumerism.
Yeah. And it's almost like just when they thought that they were ready for this thing to really, really kick into full gear, they went too far with it.
Right.
And it's what we're seeing on TV. It's what we're seeing with our own eyes that is waking a lot of us up. You know, this is not a bunch of conspiracy theorists sitting around in a room cooking up theories.
No, these are real now.
This is what's happening.
People are seeing it. People are seeing it. And now here's another one. Chipotle just took first fast food restaurant to take GMOs completely off their menu.
You want to go have lunch there?
Yeah.
That's great.
We got one not far from here. Yeah. But not only that, but McDonald's took antibiotics out of their chicken. Subway took antibiotic out of their chicken.
Oh, is this the whole chain of Chipotle?
Every chain. They took it out completely.
Wow. And I think that's a popular chain too, right?
Yeah. They took out GMOs out of their menu completely.
That's great. That needs to be a lead example with that for everybody. That is fantastic.
Yeah, and they are. And they are leading example with that. And I think that's great. And so we have this coming. The food revolution is coming. People are rejecting GMOs. Monsanto's losing profits. This is a big New World Order company. Monsanto's like the linchpin.
Yeah. You know, and another thing is, honestly, thinking back on it, in high school and in middle school, I was actually, there were a few classes where they actually taught us about GMOs.
Really?
In health classes and things like that. That's the GMOs, I would say, is one of the big things that it is being discussed.
Yes.
By most people, I would say, and a lot of educators and a lot of people are aware of this. And, you know, of course, there's a lot of things that, you know, we're kept in the dark from. There's a lot of things that isn't really discussed in the mainstream. But this, I'd say this is becoming one of the top things, really.
Oh, yeah. GMO is leading the field for the alternative media, for sure.
And yeah.
It's been one of our greatest successes. We have GMO labeling in tons of states now.
Yeah.
If they could just ban them, you know.
Yeah.
If they could just ban them. But they haven't gotten that far yet. They're too powerful to ban them. So they're always going to do them, but it's up to us. You know, to fight against it. All right, so here's another one. Monsanto, they're in a lot of trouble here. Glyphosate. Do you know what this is? It's a poisonous chemical. 30,000 doctors demanded the ban of Monsanto's glyphosate.
And just when you thought you couldn't trust the doctors.
Right, it's Roundup. Basically, have you ever seen the weed killer Roundup?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's one of the main ingredients in Roundup. What they found, it's been slowly poisoning the environment and giving people cancer and all kinds of diseases. So not only did these doctors come out, but the CDC came out and said it, that this glyphosate is a cancer-causing agent, and they specifically pointed out Monsanto's Roundup as the cause of it. And Monsanto's are having fits trying to get them to recant that statement. So there's 30,000 doctors now who are demanding the ban of it. So here's another thing, Monsanto. They're getting their ass kicked by people because people are starting to realize they're nothing but a poisonous chemical company that is poisoning our environment, that it always has. Agent Orange, DDT. I mean, why would you trust the company that made Agent Orange and DDT, two of the biggest killers ever? One is a war weapon, and it killed marijuana. Why would you trust them with your food? What do they even have any business? It's like putting Exxon in charge of your food. What do they even have any business fucking with your food? And why would you want to eat anything that Monsanto, a chemical company, put together?
Again, I think the most entertaining thing about, you know, topics like this, the whole Monsanto thing, there's so many things that you could bring up to people and they'll say, oh, you're just a conspiracy guy. That's hardly conspiracy. That's just logical. Why wouldn't you put that together in your own head?
Right. Have you heard of the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership?
No, I haven't.
Okay, TPP is basically a bill that's being introduced to the United Nations. It's more of a treaty. It's called a partnership, not really an official deal. But basically what it is, it would give corporations, make them above the law, and make them basically partners with the government.
Oh,
and
okay.
They say it's to open up trade relationships, but the deal itself is not between the actual companies, I mean the countries, it's between the corporations and the countries.
Yeah.
Do you understand? So TPP was a big part of the New World Order because they have to get the corporations in there in control You know what I'm, you know what I'm trying to say? They have to give them more free reign and control. They want a global economy. They want a global, you know, everything. So this, the way they're spinning it is this is supposed to open everything up. But really what it does is closes everything for anybody but the biggest of the big.
Yeah.
So now opposition is forming around it, and he just can't, Obama just can't get it passed. He just can't get it passed.
Great.
Yeah. So that's another good one. Now here's number nine.
This one is interesting.
This one I love. I'm going to read this one. Barack Obama's own brother says Barack is a ruthless, cold, deceitful liar. Now, if my brother said that about me, I'd be pretty freaking pissed and I would give it some credibility.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Because who knows you better than the people you grew up with or the people you're related to. So it seems like this seems like an odd one, but foreign-born Barry Sotiris has been exposed for fraud since he was elected about 2008. Because throughout history, brothers of the sitting president don't usually come out boldly and tell that their own brother is a liar and a ruthless person. it's a very shocking story. I mean, I don't think any brother has ever come out and said that. But apparently this guy came out in an interview and said Barack Obama is a ruthless, cold, deceitful liar. And I believe it. If you know, he's been called aloof before and noncommittal and very distant. Now, those are the signs of a sociopath. And if you ask me, Barack Obama is a sociopath.
Yeah.
And not the murdering kind. That's a psychopath.
Yeah.
Sociopath is different. They're not, you know, they're just, they can operate within society.
Yeah.
And, but they have no conscience and they lie. They can lie to your face and not, you know, not crack a smile. So basically that's what he's saying. A ruthless, cold, deceitful liar.
Wow.
Yeah. And I have heard this before. That he just doesn't care. Anybody who's ever met him said he's got a vacant look in his eye and that he's really distant. And that makes sense. So here's the last one. CIA and CINN puts out a major ISIS PSYOP report and no one even cares. So basically, CNN and the CIA were putting out all this info about ISIS and how they're killing all these people and this, that, and the other thing. Nobody cares about ISIS anymore. Nobody cares. Nobody is even responding to the ISIS fear propaganda
anymore. It's just been going on for so long,
right?
And I remember so many of my friends would be hanging out, they'd be pulling up the videos, they're saying they're coming to the States, they're gonna get us, and I'm like, all right, well, we'll see when that happens. You know, here we are, you know, it's May.
Yeah,
where are they? What's going on? I mean, are they still even making videos?
Yeah, and they're constantly throwing these threats out there. Oh, ISIS is gonna attack the U.S. oh, where is it? They're just trying to keep us in fear. And here's what I think is happening. I think people, Americans, are just tired of fear. I think they're just tired of having fear shoved down our fucking throats left and right every single day. Things we need to be afraid of. We need to be afraid of the weather these days.
Well, yeah, you know, it's natural because aside from not being shown this great ordeal that we're supposed to fear, I mean, it's only a natural instinct. I mean, let's say you're a type of person that's extremely afraid of death. I mean, you could think about it for so long until naturally at some point you say to yourself, all right, well, I'm going to die. There's nothing I could do about it. And, you know, you don't let it ruin the rest of your life. You just live it. But then also the whole ISIS thing in situations like this, it's almost like being afraid the world's going to end when there's that threat every few years that the world's going to end. If it was 2000, 2011, 2012, whatever, and it never happens. Here's a group that's been planning on attacking us for how long now? I can't even remember.
Like 2 years it's been around. And then there was Al Qaeda before that. You know, and then there was this one before that, and everybody's our enemy. We'll be afraid. I'm not. Who cares about ISIS?
Yeah.
Anybody who knows can tell that they're a fake group. Enough crap has come out that they've been. Oh, we dropped supplies to them by accident. Where did they get those fleet of trucks? You know what I mean? They have all these nice cars and trucks that are beautiful. Who's selling them to them?
How do you fucking drop supplies to people by accident?
Yeah, come on, man. Who's selling them all these identical cars, like a whole fleet? Like they're like a taxi service or something. The fuck? Who's doing that? Who's selling it to them if they know they're terrorists and criminals? It's such crap. ISIS, all of it. But what I think you're seeing is that more and more people, like I said, you get to the point with fear. And you just said it. You it's either going to take you over or destroy you, or you just say, fuck it, and let it go.
You know, eventually, you have to ignore the things that you fear Or what's your other option, to go insane?
Yeah.
And especially when it's something that you can't do anything about. But then, like I said, you know, after making it through how many times they claim the world is going to end, if they came out tomorrow and said, yo, this time it's 2017, who's afraid of that anymore?
Yeah.
You know, so who's afraid of the same group that's been saying they're going to attack us for like 2 years and it hasn't happened?
Yeah.
You can't easily scare the American people as easily as you used to, I don't think, anymore.
No, I think we're getting numb to it. Like you said, I think they went too far. I think they went hog wild. And people are just now reaching their breaking point. And they're like, fuck you, we're tired of this. No. We're just tired of this crap. Because every day, it's something new. You know, now we had a shooting this weekend at some art show that was anti-Islam. Well, you know, people, don't have an anti-Islam art show if you don't, you know what I mean, if you don't want trouble. Just invite. You might as well open the door for fucking trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the problem here. You know, we have issues in this country. We're split, divided. There's all gay versus straight. There's this, that, you know, all these things, black versus white. But the people do nothing. The people on each side do nothing to come together in the middle and compromise. You now are seeing a blowback from the Christians who are going out there and purposely doing anti-gay shit. You know what I mean? Because they hate gay marriage and all this. They're purposely starting fights. Nobody wants peace. That's the problem. They're fostering war between people. Nobody's fostering peace.
Yeah.
There's no peace being fostered.
My thought with the New World Order, as soon as I was old enough to really comprehend the concept, was that, you know, the people who run this world, you know, obviously have a good shot of completely taking over the world and controlling the population to the degree that they want to. But I also always had in the back of my mind, I always just thought that there's the way I always thought there's room for hope is that, first of all, it is just such a hell of a task to want to completely monitor the entire population, to take over the world completely, that when you have that intricate of a
system
there,
yeah.
I mean, there's always going to be room for failure there. There's
right.
always going to be room for, and especially with how long it takes. And I think we've always talked about how there's always seems like there's plans set in motion perfectly, and then it almost seems like, you know, once again, we wisen up and they get delayed again.
Right. Right. So that's a good thing. They've been trying to do this for years, like you say. You know, the United Nations was the first step. They've been trying to do this for years, and they do have a plan, but you're right. We keep fucking it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. We keep screwing it up, and we keep throwing monkey wrenches. They did not expect – I don't think they, first of all, expected the internet to be what it was. Okay? I don't think they expected people to really realize that 9/11 was an inside job, because this movement kind of really started with 9/11. There were a few people before, and I knew about it before. You know, I knew about the New World Order and all that, but nobody was really fighting it. We all kind of knew about it. We shut our mouths. We just, as long as everything's cool. And then when 9/11 happened, and people started to realize, you know, through the internet, that it was a false flag and that there was something fishy about it and the official story may not be true, they created this movement. They themselves created this movement. It is the equal and opposite reaction to their action.
Yeah.
There would be no alternative movement if there was no 9/11. But that was the thing, the catalyst, that catalyzed them on their way. And it catalyzed us on our way. It motivated. There was the alternative. There was people out there like Alex Jones and Above Top Secret. There were a few sites out there that were exposing stuff before 9/11. But nobody was catalyzed. You know, they were just kind of out there. But once that happened, it kind of unified the movement and gave us something to rally around. Because we really got screwed with that. And that was their big one. And now we see the Patriot Act is getting shut, you know, Patriot Act is getting tossed out. So it worked, but it also created, you know, the whole backlash.
Yeah.
And now I think the backlash is growing.
I think so. And I would just say to folks out there that are, you know, calling themselves truth seekers and doing what you do and on the internet and developing a following, you know, I like I said in the beginning of the podcast, I never appreciated this attitude that, you know, there is no hope, and that being a truth seeker, being somebody that's awake, it's basically just kind of looking at the situation from another perspective, but knowing there's nothing you could do about it, we're doomed. I mean, there's so much going on right now that shows us otherwise.
I think that we can do about it. Look, 5 years ago when I started this site, there was no GMO labeling. Fluoride was in the water over the place. Nobody knew about chemtrails. You know, come on. Nobody, the Illuminati wasn't big out there. In the last 5 years, tons of this stuff has been brought to the mainstream attention and actually had some actions done against them.
Yeah.
That's even more. And marijuana legalization. What about that?
Yeah.
That's a huge thing that they took away from us.
It seems black and white for a lot of people. It seems like you either have the attitude that we're doomed and there's nothing you can do about it, or there's the attitude that, yo, there's going to be a revolution. We're just waiting on that to happen.
Right. Right.
I guess I'm kind of in the middle. I don't know. I don't know if I'm.
I don't know that a violent revolution is the answer. Unfortunately, most social changes always happen that way. For me, that's not the answer, because I think that plays into their hands, because then they have a reason to do martial law and a police state and all that, because we're getting violent.
Mm-hmm.
But what other way is there? Well, you can try and change from the inside, but that doesn't necessarily work, because inside is corrupt now. You know, that goes on the theory that maybe the outside is corrupt, but the inside is still good. Well, now the inside is corrupt, so that can't even work. You know, you used to be able to make change from the inside, you know, from within the government.
Right.
Be one of those rabble. You can't even do that anymore.
Not anymore.
Because the core is now rotten. And that's the problem. The core wasn't rotten before. The core is rotten now. So all government is corrupt. All. From the top down. There's no good in it anymore. Even on the local level, those guys are controlled by somebody.
Yeah.
You know? So the only other way is, yeah, a violent revolution, or through non-compliance, like Gandhi. And that's more the way I'm trying to go.
Yeah.
You know, non-compliance. Just walk away from it. And get a bunch of people and walk away from it.
Yeah.
The more people that walk away and reject the system, the better chance. Instead of fighting it, just reject it as much as you can. I know they try to keep you sucked in, but there's changes and shifts happening. What about Tesla? The battery. The home battery that can take you off the grid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take you off the grid. That's major. Get you off the system of electricity. He's going to get killed. I hate to say it. Elon Musk. If anybody's a reincarnation of Tesla, he is.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, he's got great ideas, and he just invented a solar-powered battery that can power a whole house if you just throw a solar panel on your roof. So, I mean, that's the way. Get off the grid and try to get out of the system as much as you can.
Yeah.
You know, and get as many people to do that as well, and start forming little communities.
Yeah, and from here, we can only hope that it's going to continue uphill with the examples that we have, you know, just here in this article. You know, from here on out, now, you know, for every next restaurant that wants to reject GMOs, we got a little more hope. For now, you know, from this point on, for every cop that is going to have to face his consequences for beating the shit out of somebody or killing somebody, there's a little bit of hope, because we've seen so many people get away with this shit.
Yeah.
And that's what gives people lack of hope. That's what people see every day. You log onto the internet, you look at somebody, or you look at a cop that's beat the shit out of somebody, killed somebody without any consequences. That's what makes people say we're doomed and there is no hope.
Right. Right. So it's, yeah, maybe if we start showing some that there, maybe there is hope, and maybe more people will join, and maybe we will get some change without a revolution. But we'll have to see. All right, Kev, are you good?
Yeah, great topic today.
All right, man.
Excellent. I'm Kevin Savo with Kev Rock Entertainment, here with Joseph Peterson.
Truthisscary.com, and check out the Red Pill Live Monday nights at 8 o'clock. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter as well.
Absolutely. See you guys next time.
All right.